It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. This year's race for mayor of Seattle has been hotly contested, but most of the media attention has focused on leadership style or who's contributing to whose campaign. For many voters, the reason to vote for or against a candidate has more to do with his or her stance on the issues. We invited both incumbent Mike McGinn and challenger State Senator Ed Murray into our studios, and we talked to them about three broad areas: public safety and social justice, mobility and transportation, and today's topic, growth and development. And now we turn to challenger Ed Murray. I asked him to name three things he thinks are most important when it comes to shaping Seattle in the coming decade.
Public safety does. The issue of growth and how we grow as a city is one of them. And affordability, making Seattle an affordable city again.
Let me start with the last one, affordability. When it comes to land use planning, zoning policies, mm-hmm. how can the city ensure that there is either rental property or property for sale that a regular person can live in?
Well, you know, this is probably the most difficult of the issues to solve. But I do believe that there are a series of things that we can do, beginning with trying to restore some of the expertise in the Department of Housing who can actually help us develop policies. But, you know, there are entities, public entities around the country, particularly universities that find that they're trying to recruit new professors, but they can't get them to come because they can't afford to live in the city. And so they started developing trusts that help buy down the mortgage or build workforce housing. Cities certainly could do that as well as one of the ways to look at it, maybe do it in conjunction with the school district and the university and the city. The issues around tax incentives in our land use codes, tax credits, are all ways to try and drive down the price. Even the city developing some criteria for people who are working on average jobs who could apply to get part of their mortgage bought down out of some sort of trust to make it affordable. And the city has excess land, as does the state in the city, and certainly that could bring down the cost as well. Density is part of the answer as well. You know, if you're able to do density right in the neighborhoods that have the infrastructure to support it and the character to support it, that also is an alternative.
The southeast corridor of the city has not attracted the kind of private investment that the North End has mm-hmm. seen. North End communities are fighting to limit growth. Mm-hmm. Southeast Seattle has the opposite problem. Right. How would you as mayor, or how could you as mayor, help ensure that some of that investment goes into parts of city that haven't seen it?
Sure. Well, there's a whole series of issues in Southeast Seattle, from unemployment to fairly poor graduation rates, among many things. And the issue you bring up is a good one. Part of the problem is that Seattle Transit never had an economic development aspect to it, and I think that was unfortunate. And I believe that the city can play a stronger role in stepping in and being the economic development force around transit stations. You know, again, in public-private partnerships and with market forces. But it would have to be, a direct plan that the city took the lead on to make that happen.
How would you incorporate neighborhood or citizen input into that process?
I actually worked at the Seattle City Council when the comprehensive plan was developed and the urban village concept was put in place. And we had 38 neighborhood plans that were developed, and we had pretty good neighborhood participation, and those have mostly been shelved. And I think the issue is that we are no longer involving neighbors in their neighborhoods to the extent that we used to help decide the character of the neighborhood, where the growth should go, what type of growth should happen, what it should look like. It's been pretty much since the beginning of the Nichols administration centralized downtown. And I think that we should come up with a 21st century version of what we were doing right in the 90s. In my first 100 days, I would have a neighborhood summit to review those plans, to review the process, and to prepare for the upcoming review and revision of the comprehensive plan.
Let's jump from neighborhoods to downtown Seattle. One issue that we've heard a lot about was the proposed arena in the SoDo neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So how do we balance the kinds of uses that we're increasingly going to see both in SoDo in South Lake Union and along the other industrially zoned neighborhoods?
It's a really great question. You know, if we are able as a city to develop a biotech center on South Lake Union, then I believe we are capable as a city of revitalizing and developing our industrial base and our maritime base in Ballard, which is the largest fishing fleet in the 48 states. But that's going to have to take the same sort of planning on the part of the city and the same sort of incentives to develop and attract businesses here, industries in this case, or help the ones that are there. And clearly draw a line as where the industrial is going to happen and where this entertainment center is going to happen, and clearly separate the two out. I would create a brand new industrial and maritime council to advise the mayor on putting that kind of plan together. Because, you know, if we lose those jobs, we lose our middle class, and then we just are a city of the wealthy.
Can arenas and sports stadia exist peacefully with the port and the maritime industries in SoTo?
I think it's difficult, but I think they can. And I think the key is, you know, the city and the port need to improve their relationship. That's key. I think as a result of that, really identifying those freight corridors like Lander Street that need significant improvement for freight to move in and out of our port. And that's going to take partnerships with the state and the federal government, just like we did the last time we did some freight improvements in that corridor.
What is your vision post, should we ever get to the point where the tunnel is built? What do you envision on the waterfront downtown?
We have the opportunity for the first time since the World's Fair to do something world class. And it is truly the World's Fair of our time, a gift we can leave to the next generation. And build a waterfront that is both a working waterfront and a park and a place that is connects to the rest of the city. And it's not just connects to downtown, but connects to the rest of the city so that folks don't need to go to Sydney or to Barcelona to see a world-class waterfront. They can go downtown and see it. So that's my vision. It won't be easy. It'll have to be done over a period of time so that we can afford it, because I don't want to get in a situation where we're pitting neighborhood parks against a downtown park. Although downtown is now a neighborhood as well.
State Senator Ed Murray running for mayor of Seattle. We've heard a lot recently about the perception of danger in the downtown core versus the reality of dangerous downtown streets. So I asked Challenger Murray where the truth really lies.
I think it's partly both. We truly have seen a rise in crime in certain neighborhoods and certain types of crimes. But that has led to a perception that can become a reality in people's minds and can hurt our tourist industry and can hurt downtown when people in other neighborhoods are afraid to go downtown.
Is the solution more policing? Is it as simple as that?
No, it's not. There are several solutions, but the first one is we had an opportunity when the Obama Justice Department came to us and said, you have a problem with how your police deal with race and how they deal with overuse of force. We have spent years under this mayor fighting the Justice Department, fighting the city attorney's office, the council, a fight with the U.S. Attorney's Office. And that has just completely slowed down our ability to move forward. We should have moved early and quickly and reformed our police department. We haven't. So we need to do that. I want someone in my office who actually knows how to work with the Justice Department so that we can get through the reforms and get our police and the people in the city feeling better about each other. That's number one. Number two is what I would call dealing with the issue of despair. We have a great opportunity as a result of legislation that passed this year. I know the mayor thinks everything in Seattle is a fault of the legislature, but actually we passed legislation and the Republicans fought us, but it was the Obamacare. And as a result, people who are sleeping on the streets today are entitled to mental health. One of the providers who serve mental health youth, homeless youth in your neighborhood right here where the station is, estimates she'll save about $250,000 as she signs those young people up for mental health treatment. Thus, they get the treatment and she's able to put more money into homeless people.
You just said, I want someone in my office who will help ensure smooth progress, right, on this consent decree. You're talking about a police chief?
Well, so that is part of it. No, I was actually talking about someone, identifying someone who actually hopefully knows the U.S. Attorney General, has worked with folks in the Obama administration, and can help build trust because, you know, consent decrees can last a decade. And I don't think that would be a good thing for Seattle. I don't think it would be a good thing for the morale of our police force or for the faith in our people in the police force.
So it would be a point person under a Murray administration.
Right.
And what about police chief? What's your plan?
So that's the other piece is we need to do a national search. We need to identify someone who knows how to change the culture of a police force, who can restore the morale of the police force, which is not particularly high these days, and can build faith in the citizens of this city, in their police force. Because what I'm hearing from police, great police officers, is they haven't had leadership and they haven't had a clear message. You know, the cop on the street doesn't have a clear message from leadership. You're going to have problems on the street with crime.
I want to jump back now to mental health because a lot of what we perceive as bad behavior on the street is not criminal behavior, but it involves people with mental health issues or just things that are unpleasant to encounter, mm-hmm. not necessarily something that you can mm-hmm. prosecute. So how, besides providing mental health treatment for those who mm-hmm. need it, how do we deal with that?
I wouldn't underestimate the impact that folks having mental health insurance for the first time in their lives is going to make on their ability to get treatment and hopefully to stay off the street. But it is a multi-layered problem that's going to require a series of answers. For example, there's only one day shelter in Seattle, Mary's Place, for women and children. That's simply not enough. There's a growing group of folks who work at night, but they're homeless during the day, so they have nowhere to sleep. And at times, we've created a situation where our regulations are just too difficult in how the agencies, the nonprofits who work with the homeless, can operate. You know, one advocate pointed out to me that a woman really didn't want to go into housing. What she needed was her hairdresser's license renewed. Another woman needed her trucker's license back. And if we give flexibility so that folks can become independent and get on their feet and not just provide beds alone, that's part of the solution too. The world is changing. We need to be more innovative in how we provide these services. And of course, we simply don't have enough.
And who pays for this?
I think it is going to come down to treatment so that people stabilize and can move on with their lives.
State Senator Ed Murray, he's running for mayor of Seattle against Mike McGinn. McGinn is a well-known cyclist. Murray says he took the bus to his part-time job at the University of Washington. He quit that job to campaign for mayor. When he's down at the legislature in Olympia, Ed Murray says he can walk to his job. I asked him, if elected, what would be his top priorities for moving people around this city?
We will end planning by buckets. We plan transit separate from how we plan pedestrians, separate from how we plan the other aspects of it. Transit is different than PEDs, is different than bikes. It's hard to explain sometimes because I sound a little wonky, but we really do need to look at it as an integrated process. We need to look at any given neighborhood. Let's take the U District, for example, where we're sitting as a corridor, and buses will work on some streets and bicycle lanes will work on other streets. And we need to look at the data that will tell us what is the most efficient and the safest way for folks to move through a particular corridor. I mean, on bicycles alone, we have fallen behind other cities in the number of people who are riding bicycles. I mean, Minneapolis is ahead of us now, and they have snow and ice.
But they're also flat.
Yeah, they're flat. Yeah.
I mean, I just have to say
that would never, hills never stand in the way of Seattleites who want to bike. And I think on the bicycle issue, you know, there's been questions about do I support bicycle lanes? The answer is yes, but I support bicycle lanes that are safe. And I don't believe we've built a particularly safe system. And I think that we have mixed them often into situations where you're between a car door and a car and a bus. And that's not the best place for a bicyclist.
Are you talking about things like the Sharrows?
Well, I think we need to have grade separation, and I think parallel streets sometimes. Sometimes the neighborhood street might be the more appropriate place than the street where there are cars and buses and streetcars.
How do you incentivize people to get out of their single-occupancy vehicles and either if they want to ride a bike, or mass transit, which is for a lot of people more attractive than riding up a hill.
You know, the urban village concept was based on walkable, healthy communities. And I think if we return to that concept and you have places that people can easily walk to, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is we have grown to a $1.8 billion backlog in sidewalk and street maintenance. The mayor says that that's not his fault. If I'm mayor, it will be my fault. I will take responsibility. Because if you look at what Vancouver, British Columbia did, they decided the first thing that they would do is build out their pedestrian structure, to repair their sidewalks, to create connectivity throughout the city. And I think if you start there, you get to what you want, people biking, people taking the bus. Because whether you walk or bike or get on transit or get in your car, you usually need the sidewalk. So I think going back to basics isn't saying we don't want to do transit and we don't want to do bicycles, but we want people to do it.
Excuse me, because when you mentioned Vancouver, it raises a flag. It's an interesting comparison because the Vancouver developers were required to pay for a lot of that infrastructure. They have very different laws about, you know, when somebody builds a big building, what that somebody has to provide. And we can't require the kinds of things that developers have paid for instead of the government of Vancouver, BC.
That's right. Property in Canada and in most common law based countries do not have rights, and property here has rights, and it makes it far more difficult. I don't think that's a reason to step back from trying to build out the connectivity on a pedestrian basis in our neighborhoods and between our neighborhoods.
You mentioned urban villages, which I suppose brings us full circle back to growth and development. I haven't heard that term in a very long time. Mm. Is Seattle's current permitting and zoning and building department governed by that concept of urban villages, or have we left that somewhere?
We've left it. And Peter Steinbrück, who endorsed me yesterday, pointed out that we basically have shelved it. And I think as a result, we've come up with some pretty disconnected ways of growing, the types of buildings, what they look like, where they end up. And I think it's what's caused a lot of the frustration that you hear and fear about growth on the part of citizens. They don't understand what's going to happen to their neighborhoods. And I think if we can go back and revise those plans for the 21st century, we can, I think, calm people down a little bit because they'll understand what's going to happen.
That's State Senator Ed Murray. He's running against Mike McGinn for job mayor of Seattle. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.